Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I just love Huey Lewis. I love the song. I love the movies. We're talking history. We're talking the past. We're here with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins. We're talking about the history of the Riley County Fair. First started, Cheryl, in 1870.
That's the first one that I found. It was interesting to me that from the very beginning, horse racing was a big part of the fair. And, of course, they laid out a horse racing track in the city park. For years and years, when you flew over that or had an aerial view, you could see where that track had been. And I don't know if that's true or not. I'll have to look at some of those drone pictures.
Get a drone. Does the museum have a drone?
No, but there's a great guy here in town that has done, he did the Johnny Caw birthday party drone thing, and his name's escaping me right now, but don't look at that. Because that racetrack was there for quite a long time. The first fair race was in 1870, and unfortunately, rain messed up the latter days of the horse racing. Evidently, it was a mess, and I'm pretty sure the park was a mess after that.
So it was a multi-day fair from the beginning.
Yes, they did. Uh-huh. Multi-day. The first one was October 5th and 6th in 1870.
October?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I wonder when shift to more of a summer fair started.
That was with the 4-H fair.
Okay.
And I think lining up so that they could get things done before the state fair. Because the Riley County Fair would shift between September and October, depending on what they were doing that year. But usually in that period. And I think that crops came in later in that period, too.
That makes sense.
Just in my lifetime, the wheat harvest has moved up tremendously. I mean, I remember 4th of July wheat harvest, and now, boy, it's long gone by then, usually. So,
right.
But this first day of the race, they had the first race, and that was between Richard Sarber's pacing horse, Sam Waxelbaum's saddle horse, and Seth Child's pacing horse.
Seth Child, another name that if you're around here long enough, you should raise an eyebrow.
And Sam Waxelbaum, of course, his brother, Theodore Waxelbaum, I think it was his brother, had the big store over in Ogden and was a major supplier for the fort. And Richard Sarber was the one that had the Grove, about where Walmart is today, that was a major meeting location, picnics, fairs, 4th of July celebrations, bicycle races after bicycles got big were over in Sarber's Grove. So those three were well known in the community. Richard Sarber won the race. They built a makeshift viewing stand. And unfortunately, on the second day, it fell down, but nobody was hurt.
Well,
however, that was good. However, the reporter had a little thing in the paper about how he'd lost his lead pencil, and he was hoping that if someone found it, they would return it to him. So I guess he was sitting in the viewing stand when it collapsed and all the things went scattering. The second day of the horse races, they had trotting races, pacing races, and a ladies' race. And I didn't read who won that. The reporter said that there were but few drunken men, so he thought the fair was deemed a success.
that was the mark of success for the fair.
I'm absolutely certain in Manhattan, drunkenness would have put the kibosh on the fair because Manhattan was a big prohibition town from the very beginning. And, of course, that would have been an issue. And, in fact, the end of the fair lasted, well, let me go back a little bit. They had that fair downtown. It looks to me like they were trying to build permanent fair buildings, and they borrowed money from Mr. Huffam to do that. He was the president of the fair, the Blue and Kansas Valley Association, and built a little building and spent some money on fairgrounds and then lost their shirts and had to pay Mr. Huffam back. So they reorganized into a stock company and kind of changed their name into not the Blue Valley Agricultural Association, but and to the Blue and Kansas Valley Farmers Market Exchange, and then by 1874 they were called the Riley County Agricultural Society. So with these financial setbacks, they kind of had to reorganize.
And this is what they would use to put on the fair.
Uh-huh. This organization was the one that was pushing for the fair. They also eventually talked the city into leasing them City Park so that they could have the fair there, and they built a permanent floral hall. And that floral hall is the building they call the Roundhouse. Still standing. It was built in 1875. It's on the Kansas Register of Historic Places now, because it really is a historic building. It's, my understanding, the oldest fair building still existent in Kansas. I don't know if that's for sure, but it's one of the oldest for sure. And so that building, after 1875, is what they used for those exhibits and so on. It was interesting because the description of it, they said three sides were open. And if you look at it, you can see there's big arched open ways that have been stoned shut now. And I'm figuring that that must have been part of the open space. And in the summer, with no air conditioning, you'd want a nice breeze.
I could not imagine. Here with Riley County Historical Society Director and Museum Director, Cheryl Collins. Again, if you have some fair memories you want to call us about, or just any some questions about Riley County Fair history, maybe just fair history in general, give us a call, 785-537-1350. We're talking about the history. The Riley County Fair starts July 26th and 30th this year at the Riley County Fairgrounds, so just 10 days away, and we're talking... We talked about the first Riley County Fair, 1870.
CBS News Special Report.
Well, I hope it wasn't important. I said to call in, and we got a CBS one to get chip in on the fair. But 148 years ago was the very first fair in Riley County, and we've already jumped ahead a little bit to, I believe, Cheryl, where you're heading was shifting it to having the fair at City Park.
Well, and before that, it was in the city of Riley, because the fair in Manhattan... Evidently, there was a lot of controversy over the horse racing because it brought gambling and riffraff, and I'm certain some drunken people. And so by 1887, it wasn't doing so well, and they didn't have a fair in 1888, and the fair group, the Riley County Fair Association, sold all their buildings and gave the money to the city of Manhattan for City Park. So the city of Riley stepped in, and Riley... established a Riley County Fair in Riley, and they started that in 1889, and that fair lasted until at least 1917. So for many years, the Riley County Fair was in Riley, Kansas.
Which kind of makes some sense. Was it always called the Riley County Fair from the beginning, or was it not called that until it moved to Riley?
I think it was called the Riley County Fair. The newspaper articles that I read about it.
From the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, of course, Riley, in that period of the 1890s, was really coming of its own and were agitating for a lot of things. They were agitating to build the Riley County Courthouse there and change the seat of government to the city of Riley. Of course, that was fought
as always
adamantly by Manhattan.
Always, yes.
And eventually... Manhattan, Mr. Higginbotham gave the land the Riley County Courthouse was built on, and that helped secure for sure that the county seat would stay here.
Let's go ahead, and we're due for a break. We'll come back and talk more history with Cheryl Collins here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
Get ESB Financial's free app, Card Valet. With Card Valet, you have the power to turn your card on and off. At Little Apple Toyota.